sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Cruising down the river, dancing till your feet got numb. Cool summer breezes blowing through your hair as you stood gazing down the river in anticipation of the thrill of the dizzying rides at the amusement park. Ah, memories of Boblo Island.
Oh, it's your world, ain't nothing but a squirrel trying to get a nut. Just jealous of everybody that's headed out on that Boblo boat. It is the perfect weather, the perfect time to enjoy a few snacks. Oh man, I wish I was joining you with a little cheese and crackers, a little can-I wine, a little Rio Nitti on ice, some Harvey Bristol cream. But let's do this only on Smooth FM.
Nothing compared to our family trips. My uncle shook hands with the manly grip. All this hand-me-down shit I had an uncanny fit. All the gangsters I had in my family had me Annie bitch. My granddaddy mistress caught the business from my granny fist. That was back before I was born. Pop told stories about it that would last for hours long. And as a family, we was just so happy when him and mama got along on the Boblo. On our way to that black amusement park, wood roller coasters crack sold on plastic scooter cars. Smoking grass at the vintage food court, broken glass waiting on you on the swimming pool floor. I came across my identity on the Boblo boat. That's where I lost my virginity, no condom though. That's when paranoia hit me like when superstition does. Left my inhibitions, I guess, where my supervision was. Parties on the way to the island would be the livest though. First time big bro hit the bottle was on the Boblo boat. But neither one of us knew that we would both grow up and turn to alcoholics though. Boblo boat.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span. This is episode number 16 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast show. And right now, it's two of us right now. It's me and the homeboy, Walt Lockdown. Say what's up to the people, fam.
What's up, people?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, man. We don't know where the fuck Cliff has been. Right now, I'm getting messages from Cliff talking about he about to get on. But we've been waiting on this nigga forever. We're going to roast his ass when he get here. We damn sure gonna roast his ass when he get here. Shit. God damn, man. But what's going on with y'all, man? It has been a couple weeks since we did this Beer and Chicken Podcast thing, man. You know, holidays be getting in the way on this shit, man. You know, brothers had Father's Day going on. Your man Span just celebrated the 38th birthday. So, yeah, we really couldn't really get down on these mics like we wanted to last week. We had a show ready for y'all. But, you know, holidays and life kind of get in the way. But we here tonight, baby, and we got some things to talk about. But, of course, before we do all of that, of course, we got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voices be heard. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. And, of course, we will play those messages here on the show, respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback at Beer and Chicken Pod. That's feedback at beerandchickenpod.com. Leave those emails, and of course, we will play those emails. We'll read those emails and respond to you guys here live as well. Also, you can go to beerandchickenpod.com, vote in the polls, leave comments there, man. We will read those poll results, and of course, we'll read those comments here live on the show. Also, check us out on Stitcher and Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Leave us 5-star reviews. And we will read those 5-star reviews here live on the show, man. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It helps the show grow. It don't cost you nothing. And it's just letting everybody know you fuck with us here at the Beer Chicken Podcast, man. Real talk. And, follow all of us on the Twitters. You can follow me at Mr_Span. You can follow the homeboy Walt at Walt Lockdown. You can follow Cliff at DJ Neff2. I'm sorry. You can follow Cliff at DJ Neff too. And the show does have a Twitter. It's Beer and Chicken Pod on Twitter and all of that. And also, go to www.tpublic.com/user/The Spare Report Podcast Network. We'll have a link in the show notes, so you ain't really got to type in all that shit. But you can go there, get yourself some merch, man. Go ahead and get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a mug, get yourself, I don't know, a onesie for your babies, man. I know some of y'all out here making babies and whatnot, man. Go ahead and get yourself some merch. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. And it helps us do things here at the Spare and Report Podcast Network and the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man, to bring quality content, to get better equipment, because we need some equipment, man. We need some equipment around these streets, yo. So we really do appreciate everybody who does that. And, yeah, man, that is all of the business. All of the business is out of the way. But, yo, Walt, what's happening with you, brother? What you been up to lately?
Same old, man. Working, man. Two jobs kicking my butt.
Two jobs.
Missing basketball season already.
Yeah, man. Yeah, this is real interesting. Like, this is actually, like, one of those things where it's like, you know, for me personally, like, there's only a few sports that I really, really pay attention to. That's football and basketball. I pay attention to hockey come playoff time, and I pay attention to baseball come playoff time. But for the most part, I don't give a fuck about those sports during the regular season. Like, because both of those,
Not at all. Like,
in baseball, I don't know. It's something about the playoff atmosphere that makes it a little bit more exciting. Maybe it's like, you know, because you know it's a shortened season where, like, during a regular season, these motherfuckers play 162 games. And this shit seems like it goes on forever.
Forever.
And it's like, come on, man. Like, it's that's a marathon of dudes standing out in the sun waiting to catch a ball, man. Like, I've just never really been into baseball that heavy. Like, playing the baseball video games is always cool coming up, though. Like, I used to play MLBPA on Super Nintendo. That was my shit. Bases Loaded 2.
MLB The Show on the station was mine, too.
Listen, Super Bases Loaded 2 on Super Nintendo was the shit.
Yeah.
I used to fuck with that heavy. You know what I'm saying? Or what was that? Ken Griffey Baseball. You know what I'm saying? Or RBI Baseball. I remember they made an RBI Baseball. They remade that for, I think, PlayStation 4. I bought it. I might have played that shit maybe 5 minutes and that was it. But yeah, man. So, like, baseball hasn't really been my shit. But you know what, though? The World Cup is going on, man. Are you watching the World Cup?
I haven't been watching it. I've been kind of just listening to the commentary about it in the sports shows. I haven't been watching it only because the U.S. is not playing, and I ain't one for rooting for another country. So there's no point in me even watching it, man.
Well, see, I think I could root for another nation, right? So, like, if Nigeria was playing, because I found out a nigga, I took the Ancestry DNA shit, and I found out I was, like, 21% Nigerian. I'm like, I could root for the Nigerian national team now, nigga. That's my squad. You know what I'm saying?
Only thing I like to see is Germany lose.
Did you just say you Nigerian?
I'm 21% Nigerian, nigga. And welcome, motherfucker. Where you been at?
Wow. He just shows up and just jump in the conversation. How you doing, Cliff?
First of all,
we on CP
y'all
time.
Y'all are ahead of me,
nigga.
And I said six.
Go ahead. Go with your explanation.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's hear this.
Cause you still late. Even after that shit, you still late. But go ahead.
I'm not late.
You are very late.
How am I late,
nigga? Okay, so check this out, y'all. This is the inner workings of the Beer Chicken Podcast. So check this out. This nigga told us, he was like, yo, man, 6:30 is a good time for me. We like, all right, cool, right? Homeboy Walt was like, yo, 6 o'clock, good time for me. I'm like, bet. 6:30 for Cliff, 6 o'clock for Walt. We gonna make this shit at 6:45, right? Because I know niggas gonna be late. I know this, right? So
Eastern time.
Okay, Eastern okay, time. Right. Okay, Eastern time, you'd have been here.
Mm-hmm.
But you on Central time. Yeah, you on Central time, but hold on now. So check this out. So what we did was, he was like, yo, I meant 6:45 my time, right? So I'm like, all right, okay. I pushed it back. So we went an hour back, right? So instead of 6:45 Eastern time, we went to 7:45 Eastern time. What time is it Eastern time right now, y'all? It's 8:18. This nigga is a half hour fucking late still. Why you talking about he on time? Nigga, you are still a half
he on,
hour.
He on time, though. I thought he on CP time.
The fuck,
he
man?
He on time in his own head.
Listen. Don't be mad at me. If he got kids.
You tell time about a son, Cliff?
Cliff got a sundial watch. Cliff got.
They make watches now, my nigga.
That nigga got a sundial watch, dog. That nigga walking around with the motherfucking Mr. Slate watch, nigga. Dog, what we was talking about before this nigga so rudely interrupted us, man? We was talking about what?
Dead sports season.
Oh yeah.
World Cup.
Yeah, World Cup. Cause I said I got another team to root for. If I can't root for the United States. Which is very hard lately, but if I can't root for the United States, at least I got some rooting interest somewhere else, man. Because I'm 21% Nigerian, so I could rock with the Nigerian national team if they still playing. I don't watch the World Cup, but I'm just saying.
Did you say you 21% Nigerian?
Mm-hmm. I need to take one of those African ancestry DNA tests
to figure out what the other percentages. What are you split like 3-4 ways?
Well, I mean, there is some white people in the lineage, man. Like, I found out I was like 9% Irish and shit. There's some. Yeah,
you about 37% Irish.
Man, kiss my ass, nigga. Hey,
Hold on,
no, you're not gonna say about how I drink, nigga. Wasn't this the nigga that was talking about he was drinking like Hennessy for 4 days straight because he ain't had no kids? You don't talk about the way
and
I drink.
Do it again.
You talking about the way I drink, nigga.
And I do it again.
Get the fuck out of here, man. So, what else? Like, what else is you up to, Walt? I mean, what else is you up to, man?
Not much, man. I'm ready for the summer. I'm ready for the middle of the summer to just hit, man. I'm ready to go on vacation and just and enjoy the weather.
What about you, Cliff?
Man, so Labor Day weekend, I'm going to San Diego for a week, and I just got the crib Thursday. Man, I got a house, 5-bedroom, 5.5-bed, 5.5-bath.
Right. 5.5 bathrooms?
It's bananas.
Why would anybody need 5.5 bathrooms?
How many pairs of shoes you got?
That ain't the same, dog. I got more than one motherfucking shirt, nigga. I don't go to the, I got one bathroom, dog. Why would anybody need 5 bathrooms? Educate me, man. This is some rich shit. I don't know nothing about. Educate me, my nigga. Why would anybody need 5 bathrooms?
You got one bathroom right now?
I got one bathroom right now.
Okay. I ain't got no argument.
Okay. You talking about how many shoes I got, nigga? I got more than one outfit, my nigga. That ain't the same as bathrooms in a house, nigga. The fuck? I don't even know how many shoes
right now.
I don't know how many pairs of shoes I got. I haven't counted.
Well, bottom line is, you asked me what I was up to.
So, what's up with the house, man? You moving to San Diego or something you ain't told a nigga?
Hey, Walt.
Yeah.
Walt, you there?
He there.
I'm here.
Did I just tell y'all I was going on vacation?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't hear that part.
You had to go to San Diego.
You said you was going to San Diego, and you just got the house. You said you was going to San Diego
for 7 days.
Okay, that's something different.
Okay,
I said 7 days.
I didn't hear that part. My bad.
So after the show, I want you to rewatch all this, and you're gonna hear me say 7 days. Why you gotta?
Don't be trying to get him back because he jumped on you because you was late.
Fucking CP time ass nigga, man.
Hold on. You don't have a Bulls or a Lions hat on, right? What's going on? What's up with that hat, though?
So we gonna act brand new, Cliff.
Facts.
Okay. So if anybody, including you, has known me for any length of time, you would know that your man Span has been a Carolina Panthers fan since they were in. Like since their inception, so this is one of the teams that I fuck with. I got a fully fucking customized Carolina Panthers jersey in my closet right now that I didn't had since we was in college.
Really?
Yes, sir. Oh,
you know what that means?
What's that?
We drank too much. because I don't know that jersey.
Nigga.
And I didn't see you take a shit in the bathroom for an hour, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Everybody ain't had to know that, dog. Like, I mean, everybody ain't had to know that. Like.
Hey, Walt.
Walt stepped away for a minute, man. I know he sent us a little message. Said he had to go. Yeah. I think the beer running through him right now. You know, he had to go make that little run. But yeah, man, we was just talking about how like we hadn't did a show in like 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And with Father's Day and whatever else, man. Like my birthday just passed and whatnot. And so that kind
of happy Father's Day to both y'all, yo.
Thank you, man. You too, brother. And we was talking about you know, sometimes, you know, life kind of getting in the way and shit, you know, kind of like tonight, nigga. No, but, no, we was actually, man, before we got on the mic, man, me and Walt was kind of talking about, and this is something that we hadn't really talked about on the show. We really hadn't planned to talk about on the show, man, but it's something like real ancillary to the games. Like, we was talking about, I thought about getting a Jordan All-Star jersey, throwback jersey, right? You seen those? They got the 80... Yeah, I thought about getting one, man. And I was like, man, I don't know if I really want to drop $300 on a jersey right now, though, right?
They want that back.
Yeah. Right. And I was like, I don't know if I really want to drop $300 on that boy, though, right? And then I was saying that they had the authentic Jordan Bulls jersey, but they was in the new style with the NBA emblem in the back and all that other shit. I'm like, I wouldn't rock that because it ain't what he wore when he was playing. It didn't look like that when he was playing, right? So we got to talking about how like the NBA is like moving the NBA emblem to the back so they can make room for all these advertisements on the front. You know what I'm saying? And we started talking about like how it could get worse, right? Because have you seen WNBA jerseys?
They look like soccer jerseys.
Dog, the WNBA jerseys, they look like walking billboards, man. Like they don't even,
yes.
Like they don't even, like the team that they actually play for, like they minimize the team jerseys. I mean, the team logos, and they put the team logos in the upper left hand corner. But then, like, say for instance, I think the Minnesota Lynx, they should say Mayo Clinic across the front, and then Verizon on the bottom. I think Verizon is like really like a big league sponsor because it's a lot of their jerseys that say Verizon on the bottom. And I'm getting echo.
Me too.
I'm not getting it anymore. Okay.
I'm getting now.
Are you?
I am too. Yeah.
Still?
Nope.
Okay. No, but we was talking about that. Like, you know, do you think the NBA, you know, while they trying to slip this little shit in, we're like, okay, we're going to make room for these little bitty advertisements to where they're going to get greedy and they're going to want more money, and these advertisers are going to start paying more money for more prominent space on these jerseys. We're going to, these jerseys about to start looking like NASCAR fucking jackets, man.
Hey.
And they're going to stop it fast. And I'm going to tell you why they're going to stop it fast. Because ain't nobody going to buy them ugly ass jerseys, and them jersey sales are going to plummet.
Maybe. Man.
Them NASCAR jackets, fire. Facts.
You say they fire?
I like them shits.
I like the NASCAR jacket too, Cliff. I'm with you on that one, but still, ain't the point. You know what he's saying.
I remember when those became popular when we was in school. Like when we was in, matter of fact, I want to say when we was like sophomore year in college, man. Well, like I seen a lot of folks that was rocking them. Like they had the little Eminem jerseys, you know, jackets and all that. I never really was a fan. That's almost like them pants, man, that had all the NBA logos and shit on them. Never was a fan. Like, I was like, nah, that ain't my shit.
Hey, I got a motorcycle jacket. I probably wore it 5 times riding because it got all the patches, you know, and it's NASCAR, but a lot of the NASCAR brands own one of the bikes, you know, that race professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hot. It's expensive. That shit nice.
Okay.
But man, I'm glad we back on, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about, man. We got a lot to talk about. And you know, I actually got a couple different topics that I want to talk about. Cause it's been a couple weeks, man. It's been a couple weeks. So
I bet you do.
Of course I do. Of course I do. But I'm going to let the homeboy Walt go first, man. So, Walt, what you got for us tonight?
I wanted to get your opinion, mostly because we know Cliff's opinion on this. We gonna exclude him from the conversation before
we ain't gonna
do
that.
Started.
We ain't gonna do that.
You know what? I know why. Shit be on point. Nah.
I wanted to know how you felt about Dwayne Casey being hired by the Pistons, man.
How I felt about it?
Yeah.
I had no feelings about that shit whatsoever, bro.
Whatsoever. Not? The Bulls fans, we get it.
I'm just being over there with him.
Well, no, just kidding.
I'm being real. Like, I really didn't have many, you know, many feelings about it whatsoever. I knew Dwayne Casey was going to get another job, right? I just knew he was going to get another.
He was too good of a coach. He's too good of a coach.
He is.
I mean, look, he squoze out of the Raptors, man. He squoze that out of them boys.
He won.
And that's
coach
what I'm hoping he do for the Pistons. I'm hoping he come in and work with all those young guys. I think he'll do wonders for them young guys, man, and build some type of culture for that team. They gave him a 5-year deal, so maybe that's enough time for him to, you know, turn that team around and squeeze some of that young talent and get the most out of them, like he did with DeMar DeRozan and Lowry and them boys over in Toronto.
Walt, you sound like such a fucking fan right now.
I am a fan, nigga. When you act like this is a secret.
You ever have your like uncle or grandfather do the old school pull the quarter from behind your ear, magic trick? That's the way, Casey, motherfucker.
Now, you know, the interesting thing is, man, is like, you know, he was talking about they gave him a 5-year deal and he hopes that they can squeeze all his talent out of the Pistons squad or whatnot, man. And, you know, we was talking about how when he was fired from the Raptors, right? Like, he had led them to 5 straight NBA playoff appearances and they had pretty much peaked there. You thought that they did him a disservice by firing him, and now here he is with your squad. So I think you got some rose colored glasses on right now when it comes to Dwayne Casey, because, like, hey man, we done came up on this coach of the year, man. Like, we got the best coach in the league. He might not be best coach in the league, he was best coach for that team that season.
You remember too much.
Hey man, I'm just saying, man, we listen, I think the listeners will remember that shit too, man.
He remembered too much.
You remember too much. You weren't supposed to bring all that up. That's
I'm just
the old
saying.
Show. Why are you talking about old shows?
You don't spare me writing shit down.
Hey man, I gotta keep it tight, keep it right here, man. We can't be out here talking.
You bringing up old shows, nigga.
Keep them old shit, man.
Hey man. Hey, speaking of old shit though, we had a poll from the last show, man, and we were talking about and not to get off your topic real quick because we're gonna get right back to it, but we had a poll from the last show. Well, we was asking folks where they thought that LeBron James was going to go, right? And the poll results on that shit is in, man. So as it stands right now, man, 35% of people who listen to the Beer and Chicken podcast believe that LeBron James will be playing for the Los Angeles Lakers come next season. All right? 35%. Okay?
Okay.
The majority?
That's the majority. That's the top one. 25% believes he's going to Houston next season. 15% thinks he's going back to Miami to play with D-Wade. 15% thinks that. 10% has him staying in Cleveland. 10%. Another 10% thinks he's going to Philly. And 5% of the people who listen to the Beer and Chicken podcast believe that LeBron James may be playing for the Boston Celtics next season. So those were the poll results from the last show that we did of where LeBron James may end up next season. Man, what do y'all think about that?
I think 30% of the people who voted in that poll is idiots.
You can't be out here.
Let me tap into my inner Charles Barkley real quick.
You can't be out here assaulting the listeners, nigga. You can't be out here assaulting the listeners, bro.
Man, Houston and Boston, come on. That's out of the question. I can see the Lakers. I can see Philly. I can see Miami. I can see him staying in Cleveland. I can see all that. But that Houston and Boston, man, that's wishing on a star. Why would he go to Boston?
Well, that's only like 5% that think he's going to Boston.
But 25% think he said Houston. 25% said Houston, so I put them both together and said 30.
Hey, yo.
Yeah.
Check it out. So let's go from a numerical standpoint. at the end of the season, the biggest salary caps in the NBA, LA and Cleveland. Funny enough, Cleveland can pay LeBron what LA can pay him, but they can't pay nobody else. All right. So if LeBron is smart, that 35% is legit. I'm just saying from a numerical standpoint. So everybody, that Boston shit ain't happening. Okay. Philly, the fuck out of here. Okay. So that's like that Panther hat on his fan right now. That's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying. But no, I can see him staying in Cleveland for the money, but going to LA to get a ring.
Man, here's the thing. That nigga don't need the money. I think what LeBron James is right now in his career, money is not the motherfucking motivating factor where he goes. I just don't think that's what it is. I think at this point in LeBron James' career, money is like on maybe number five on that list of places where he goes. And we can hear you typing over there, Walt.
I ain't even cut y'all off. I'm out of my deck. Why did a fucking red fox just fall and a branch broke off my neighbor's tree? That's some crazy shit.
Yeah, that nigga's rich, man. This nigga got foxes and shit in his.
You got foxes around your house?
Nigga, the most exotic shit I might see in my yard is a pheasant, nigga. This nigga got foxes, nigga.
Foxes around his house. We get possums around here.
This nigga got foxes. We get pheasants and shit, nigga. I remember the first time I saw a pheasant, nigga. I thought it was a peacock. I was like, wait, what the fuck is that? That's how meter read, nigga. I seen a whole bunch of strange shit when I was meter read. But yeah, man.
Shot that bitch.
Hey, man, shut up. But
I know you got it.
But yeah, man. Like I was saying, man. Like I don't think LeBron James going to stand in Cleveland is a thing because of money, man. Like I don't think that for one, he don't really need the bread. I don't think the bread is the motivating factor. I think he wants to win championships. I think he is chasing the ghost of Jordan. I think he does want to be the greatest of all time, and winning championships is a part of doing that. That's why I don't think that him going to Houston is out of the question. It's why I don't think that him going to Philly is out of the question, because there's talent there. While you scrunching your fucking face, it's why I think he would go, because there's talent there. And if they can get to the second round of the playoffs without LeBron James, I think that they could. I think they could go damn it out of the Eastern Conference the way it's constructed now. I think they do stand a chance to be one of the favorites to come out of the East.
You fucking up.
You talking money, and the nigga don't really need the bread right now.
He don't need that bread.
He don't need the bread.
That's how I know you fucking up. That's how I know you fucking up. Because I don't care how much money you got. It's always about the money.
It ain't.
Believe that.
It ain't. It ain't. Because if it was about the money. Hold on. If it was about the money, he would have took more money to go to fucking Miami. He sacrificed money to go to Miami. Bullshit. It was never about the fucking money with him.
Bullshit.
Nothing, nigga.
He make more money off the court, Cliff. That's nothing.
Okay, let me help y'all out.
Okay. You ain't helping me, nigga. Help yourself.
Help that Stella.
Help yourself, Parker. Nigga.
But listen. I get it. LeBron and Dwayne and Chris Bosh pay cuts to get a ring.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm with that. Okay. 5 years later, LeBron wants to be the highest paid player ever in the NBA. And he cannot get that in Philly. Okay? He wants to be two things. The highest paid and get a ring. Philly might as well fucking jag him off. That's just not happening. Okay? Well, Blake Griffin went to Detroit, not by choice, but he's still getting paid. He don't give a fuck if he ain't winning no ring. Okay,
LeBron. The Blake Griffin knows. Ain't LeBron James.
I know. Let me tell you what I'm saying. Let me tell you what I'm saying. LeBron knows he can get the most money and get a ring in one place, and Philly ain't it.
So you think it's LA
or Cleveland, one or the other?
Cleveland ain't got nobody.
They don't.
Cleveland ain't got nobody to put around him, dog. Like, they gonna spend all their money. They gonna spend all their money trying to keep his ass. Ain't gonna have no money to spend on nothing to put around him. He goes to L.A.
And then he gonna fuck around and punch a chalkboard after he lose in the second first round next week and break his hand again.
He goes to L.A.
I mean, next year and break his hand again.
Hold on. He goes to L.A.
You said that. You don't think he's gonna go to L.A.? So where he gonna go?
Who said that he wasn't gonna go to L.A.?
Wow.
I said Houston and Boston. I said L.A., yeah. I can see that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, he goes to LA. He's gonna have, I mean, as that team as it's constructed now, ain't gonna get him shit. He's basically gonna have to recruit somebody else to come there with him, preferably somebody like a Kawhi Leonard or something like that. And I can see them trying to make that happen. And put, like, LA will be from a doormat right onto the, like, the center stage of, like, yo, we battling the Golden State Warriors for top spot in the West. Like, I can see that right off top.
Can we go back to Wall shit real quick?
Yeah, that's what we supposed to have been doing, and when we took that LeBron detour, but
yeah, that tends to happen in every sports show. We took in the LeBron America. Detour,
but yeah, well, man. So Walt,
check it out. Here's where I'm at with that. Walt, let me ask you something. If you ain't got shit, right? If you ain't got shit, and Dwayne Casey's available, right? And you got some talent. Am I upset at the decision? Fuck, I'm not even a fan. But shit, I'd rather have that. I don't want to make this segue right now than John Paxson. Okay, so fucking A. Casey, bring your ass. Do what you did over there, over here.
Well, There's a couple of routes they could have went, though, Cliff. I mean, there's a lot of good coaches available, not just Dwayne Casey. I mean, hell, they could have gave Mark Jackson a call.
That's not happening. The NBA does not want Mark Jackson to coach again.
Why do you believe that?
So,
good question, man.
Okay, I'm going to answer it. So, my cousin is the assistant coach for Charlotte. The reason why Mark Jackson got fired, the owner of the Warriors, no judgment, but he's homosexual, right? Mark Jackson and his wife, they are extremely religious.
Christian.
Right?
Yeah.
Very. They got a church, right? So there was a lot of conflict, and that shit didn't work out. So politically, it had nothing to do with his ability. It was the fact that they had differences that had nothing to do with the game. And right now, that's affecting his ability to become a coach in the NBA. Period. And you have to leave your beliefs at the fucking doorstep. Period. And I don't know what Mark Jackson was doing or not doing, but that affected, you know, the possibilities that he had in the NBA. You know, ESPN, Fox, whoever brought him on, you know, they knew he was a good commentator because he's a good coach, because he has a good perspective of the game. But in the long run, that inhibited his ability to become a head coach again, and he would have got a ring. I still say I love Steve Kerr, but it's Mark Jackson that formulated all of what's going on right now to a degree. I'm not saying everything, but I'm saying he started it. Foundation is everything. Seriously.
Here's the thing, man. I don't know how much of a degree we can attribute his religious beliefs to him not being a coach in the NBA currently. Because his name constantly comes up as a viable coaching option whenever there's a team that has an opening. Right?
But he doesn't get the job.
That doesn't mean that it was his beliefs that kept him from getting the job. Just like, say for instance, like right now, the Pistons brought on Dwayne Casey. Dwayne Casey was the reigning coach of the year in the NBA, and he was suddenly available. Like, I can see why the Pistons were like, you know what? Yeah, Mark Jackson might have been a choice, but yo, this Dwayne Casey cat is suddenly available. We may want to roll with him only because he's still in the league. He's still producing winning teams. And we might want to get some of that on our squad here. Like, we might want to build up with that here. Like, even with like if you look at what happened with the New York Knicks, they decided to hire Fizdale. Fizdale was another NBA coach who had overachieved, I think, to a large degree with the Minnesota Grizzlies. I mean, not Minnesota, the Memphis Grizzlies. Overachieved a bit with that squad. But he was able to parlay that into another position with the New York Knicks. I thought if Mark Jackson was going to get another chance with an NBA team, it would have probably been the Knicks because he played for the Knicks.
It would have been the Knicks.
You know what I'm saying?
It would have been the Knicks.
That's my point.
However, you know, because you ain't the only motherfucker that got people that coach in the NBA, nigga. Like, right now, Willie Green, assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors. We went to school with this nigga. You know what I'm saying? That's our guy.
Like, literally.
That's our guy. Right. We know that. I remember I used to call Willie Green the touchdown machine back in school because it was a Detroit Lions player. His name was Willie Green, too. I used to tease him all the time, man. That's our dude. Currently coaching for the Golden State Warriors. World champion Golden State Warriors. 2 times running. My boy got 2 rings, man. But the point that I'm making is I don't know how much we can really bring into – I don't know how much of it is, you know – Mark Jackson is Christian, therefore, and he's fundamentalist Christian, therefore he can't get a job in the NBA. I don't know how much I want to buy into that. I don't know if I really want to buy into that much at all. Go ahead.
I'm not specifically saying that because he's a Christian and he's a believer in Jesus Christ or whatever he's doing is having an effect on his ability to get a job. What I'm saying is whatever conflict that he had with the Golden State Warriors owner, okay, those owners, how many owners are there? It's a few, okay? They have meetings together, and they can always say, fuck Mark Jackson, okay? Whatever happened behind closed doors, that shit happened. And it happened because of they had differences. And I don't know what those differences were specifically, but all I'm saying, man, is that that's where it stemmed from. That's all I'm saying. I do believe that. I don't want to take this to that level, but when you have somebody on the right and left, and there is a conflict, the person who has the most influence on whether or not you ever get back in, you ain't getting in. Period. The Knicks, I don't give a fuck. Mark Jackson is a legend. And guess what? He would be ideal to coach that team. Shit's not happening.
You know what, though? One of the things about this, right? If this is about Mark Jackson's, if this is about Mark Jackson's views on homosexuality, and it affecting him getting a job with other NBA teams on a coaching wise. I kind of feel like if that was really the biggest issue with Mark Jackson, that he wouldn't even be in the broadcast booth right now as an ambassador of the game on ABC.
He'd be trying to boycott him for discriminating in some type of way or filing some type of suit or something.
I'm not going to even go that far. I'm saying that like if the NBA or if the NBA owners had that much of a problem with Mark Jackson, that they would also be like, yo, with ABC or ESPN, we don't want this dude around even for broadcasting these games. If they were on some collusion to that, you know, that sort of shit, I kind of feel like they would even go that far with it. Like, yo, not only do we want this dude not coaching in our league, but we don't even want this dude speaking up on our league. Like, there's a way to black, like the NBA has blackballed motherfuckers before. Like, we seen what happened to Craig Hodges. We seen what happened to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. It's not as if. No,
different.
Hold on. Those are different topics. However, the point that I'm making is it's not beyond the NBA to blackball a motherfucker. Whether they have it.
Different.
It's not different. How is it different? Tell me how it's different, Cliff.
Different.
How is it different?
Different.
How is it different?
This motherfucker went to the president of the United States, man.
Okay.
He went to the president of the United States.
Okay.
Mark Jackson had a conflict with owner. The
okay.
Owners only have so much room to block you out. All right. Now, I don't know what is Mark Jackson on? ESPN?
Fox? He's on ABC, which is also part of ESPN, Disney, and all that other shit.
All that shit, fine. Guess what? Somebody over else was like, yo, I like you. I don't give a fuck what happened over there. They might be able to boycott you from being a coach, but I like you. Okay? The president of the United States and Craig Hodges?
Man, listen.
We're talking about, come on, man.
Think about this. Think about this for a second. Think about this for a second.
The leader of the free world.
Think about this for a second. If the NFL can keep motherfuckers from out of the booth, from covering their games, or better yet, take for instance like Jemele Hill, right? Jemele Hill was speaking on the NFL shit, and they suspended Jemele Hill off the NFL shit, or based off what she said about the NFL. The whole shit with Donald Trump was ancillary to what she was talking about with the NFL as far as boycotting and everything else, but she was essentially talking about the NFL. That shit resulted in her being suspended, and now she's not even covering it yet. Like, she's not on ESPN all day long. She's on The Undefeated, right? So if the NFL has a problem, or the NBA has a problem with the people who are covering the game for the broadcasting partners, you don't think that they would say, like, you know what? We got an issue with this guy. It would probably be in your better interest not to have this dude broadcasting our games.
No, different.
It's not different.
Talking about the motherfucking president.
She was talking about the motherfucking NFL, dog.
But y'all do realize we just took Dwayne Casey shit and turned it into a Mark Jackson discussion, right?
We know.
Okay. Right. You know what? Well, you're right. You know. I don't wanna get spanned in his panties. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck you, nigga.
My love span. Listen, back to Casey. The bottom line is this. I think they made a good decision. Okay? I agree with Span. It's a lot of coaches. And if I had a choice, if you just won what you just did, all of that, da-da-da, I'm taking them too. You know what?
I read somewhere that their number one priority from them was to develop young talent. And when I first heard about him getting hired, that's the first thing that came to my mind too, is him getting the most, like you said, overachieving with the talent that we got. I firmly believe, even with somebody like Andre Drummond, I think Andre Drummond would have had a hell of a career under a different organization than Detroit. Facts. I think Detroit, like, screwed his career over because they never had a stable situation for him. They went from one coach to another, one GM to another one, and it was never a stable situation. A stable system for him to develop and learn under. So I think I think Dwayne Casey was a good hire, man, and we'll see how it go, you know. And
well,
even if we just so happen to make the eighth seed of the dang on playoffs next year, that's an improvement.
Well, the thing about
you know what I mean. So
the thing about Drummond, though, I don't even know if you can say that Drummond hasn't had a good career. I think the thing with Drummond is he's been stuck in a bad team.
Drummond, that's what I'm saying, like, he would have had a way better Drummond. Drummond had a better career on a different team. Yeah. Like, not so far as his individual numbers wise and stuff. Like, I'm just saying he would have probably accomplished more and achieved more because he's a good player.
I don't know if he'd have accomplished more or achieved more. I think the fact that the matter remains is Drummond hasn't had the players around him that would have put him in a better position to win. Like, Drummond has been able to put the numbers up every fucking season he's been in the league, even when he had Greg Monroe. Even when he had Greg Monroe in the front court with him, like, he's been able to produce in this league. It's the team around him. Like, I don't even know if you could say, like, he'd have been able to accomplish more. It's a team game. Like, he hasn't had the teammates around him that would have accentuated his talents better to where the Pistons were winning more games. Yes. But his overall production, he's been an all-star player since he's been in the league. I would say the last 3 or 4 years, he's been an all-star caliber player. It's not as if he's not developed. It's not as if he can. I would say he can shoot free throws better.
I just think, you know, he needs, like, for somebody at his age and with the skills that, you know, that he got, I think he should have been to sniff the playoffs a couple times by now.
Well, he has sniffed the playoffs. I mean, he's been to the playoffs once in the time that, what's my man name? Jeff Van Gundy was here. They went to the playoffs once.
Van Gundy.
Yes, Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, they went once.
They went to the playoffs once. But again, now, so I don't even know if Dwayne Casey has that much of an impact on Drummond's game. But the key to this Pistons team is getting the players around Drummond, because it, truth be told, man, Drummond is the centerpiece of that squad.
Yes.
The key now is, right now the Detroit Pistons don't have anybody. They don't have a vice president, a player personnel. They don't have a general manager. They don't have anything right now. They don't really have any sort of hierarchy as far as how the organization goes. The owner just went out and said, fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and hire a coach. They don't even have anybody who's up in player personnel who can make those sort of decisions, who can, like ultimately scout and be up and effectively get talent around Andre Drummond to make them a productive team. That's the Pistons' key thing right now.
I think that was smart. Okay, you lead from the top, and if you ain't got nobody at the bottom, hire somebody that has led.
Well, no, I don't have an issue with Gores going out and hiring a coach. I don't have an issue with that. I don't have an issue with that whatsoever. What I'm saying is, right now, what the Pistons need, and I'm, trust me, I'm not even rooting for these motherfuckers, but what the Pistons need is they need somebody in the front, like in the front office, who can facilitate getting guys to surround their biggest talent. Right now, their biggest talent is Andre Drummond. Now, interestingly enough, the league is kind of transitioning from, and it has been for a long time. This is why you can see guys like Roy Hibbert and stuff like moving out of the league. You haven't heard. I remember Roy Hibbert was like defensive player of the year or some shit like that. He was real big in Indiana. That motherfucker's not even in the league right now. He's like only like 28, 29 years old. You know what I'm saying? So like the league is kind of transitioning away from a big man dominated oriented sport into wing players like LeBron James, like Kevin Durant, and backcourt players like James Harden, like Steph Curry, like Kyrie Irving. So like the game is sort of shifting away from a team oriented around the big man. And right now the Pistons have a team oriented around the big man, and they need to find talent. If that's what they're going to go on, they need to find talent to surround that big man with shooters and guys who are going to move the motherfucking ball.
Yes.
That's what they need.
Yes. That's why you smart. God damn, Mark. God damn. That's fucking good. Listen. So, this might be a good time to go into what I'm going to talk about.
We transitioning. You want to go to, you want to talk shit about the Bulls right now?
Everybody that can't see me, you ever bite your bottom lip? Your nose go up. Fuck the Bulls, okay? Fuck the Bulls. All that shit that Span just said, the Bulls are not doing. The draft.
So that's why you was being nice to the Pistons when we was talking about them hiring Dwayne Casey, because you ain't want to shit on your Bulls.
No,
it's cool. Go ahead. I see you set me up. Go ahead. It's cool. I can't even shit on your Bulls now because you was being nice. Go ahead.
While he's saying that, I'm about to go get some more beer. Okay. Talk your shit, man.
Listen,
I'll be right back.
So, okay. I got an article. Walt, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, listen. So this is from 2 days ago. It says, Chicago Bulls NBA draft grades are in, and being a B student isn't so bad. Okay, well, before I ever read the article, I said, if I was to read that headliner, what does that mean to me? Okay. Everybody wanted 3.0, but that is some bullshit. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Right? To suck. That's what it means. That's what it means to me. Okay. John Paxson.
It don't say it's okay to suck. It means it's okay to not be the best. There's a difference between not being the best and sucking.
Okay. This is why. What is, you got your head? Put your headphones on. Put your headphones on. Okay. I ain't start yet. I've been reading this headliner. This headliner. Okay. Chicago Bulls NBA draft grades are in, and being a B student is not so bad. Okay. I think that is trying to give credit when you shouldn't give credit due. Okay? The Bulls have the fourth largest salary cap in the NBA. They haven't even used... Hold on. I pulled this up. They haven't used 30% of their salary. So here's who they got. And by all means, young brother, get your money. Okay? So the guy they drafted, his name is Wendell Carter Jr. 6'10", and it says he's a center who can score inside, clean on the glass, has developing touch on his face-up jump shot. So, okay. Anybody know who's a starting five for the Bulls? You got a Bulls hat on. Who's the starting five?
I have no fucking clue.
My point. Okay. There's a lot of dudes.
Hey, you niggas, hold on. How y'all Bulls fans and y'all don't know the starting five?
Yeah. You only proving my point right now. Well, you proved my point to what I'm talking about tonight. You know what? Paxson, he hit the three, you know, got three rings, my man, blah, blah. Who the hell said that he can make decisions for the whole squad? Damn.
Here's the thing with Paxson, right? And this is much, and it's funny because there's some parallels between how Paxson has run and him and Gar Foreman have run the Bulls and how Joe Dumars ran the Detroit Pistons for a while. There was a time where the Detroit Pistons were really fucking successful with Joe Dumars running the thing, right? He made some really timely trades. He made some really timely draft picks outside of that Darko pick where he really should have drafted Carmelo Anthony. He picked up Darko. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But after a certain point, Joe Dumars was kind of like on a, like some of the decisions he started making later on in his tenure were kind of questionable. And I think what's going on with the Bulls right now is that early on, John Paxson and Gar Foreman put together a pretty nice motherfucking squad who were contending for a champion, like was a contender in the East for the championship. They ran against LeBron James and the Miami Heat at the same time. And I think that really, and Derrick Rose's injury problems kind of stunted the growth of that squad. But at a certain point, some of the decisions that John Paxson and Gar Foreman have made has crippled the Bulls' progress going forward. So, like, I can remember when, what was that, when the Bulls decided that they were going to trade Derrick Rose. Like, at a certain point, man, like, the team at that point had, like, plateaued. It was dead. Like, it wasn't going no further. Like, Derrick Rose was always hurt. Joakim Noah was always hurt. And it was like, yo, we need to finally figure out a way. We got to move forward with what we got. So they started moving guys around. They moved on from Joakim Noah. They moved on from Derrick Rose. Then they had Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler was a good two-way player, defensive and offensively. Yes. Right? Yes. Hold on, I'm with you. Hold on, I'm with you. Because when they traded Jimmy Butler away, that's when I'm like, man, what the fuck are they doing?
Exactly.
What the fuck are they doing? Exactly. Because you had a legitimate star who had just re-signed with the Bulls, with them. And then, you know, it was talk about his relationship with, you know, Thibodeau and or better yet, the problems with the Bulls came when John Paxson and Gar Foreman signed, what's this coach's name? Hoiberg. When they decided to sign Hoiberg.
Oh, God.
When they decided to sign Hoiberg and they stuck behind Hoiberg and got rid of Jimmy Butler, that's when the Bulls went to shit. And I haven't really been a fan of the front office of the Bulls since, because every decision since every decision since has been questionable as fuck. And this is why I don't know who the starting five of my own fucking favorite team is, because I refuse to watch them. I'm like, yo, this is some bullshit. I'm not going to watch them. And like, I can admit when my team is trash, man. My team right now is trash. Like, I can't watch. I can be a lifelong fan, but I can also be realistic and know that my team ain't shit right now. And right now with Gar Foreman and John Paxson running shit, my team ain't shit. I can rock my bullshit proudly because I'm proud of the history, but fuck the team that we got right now. I don't know who the fuck these dudes is.
Well, I'll say this. I agree. Everything started when they got that dumbass coach, okay? And they wanted to pull him and say that he was good and all that other shit, and he wasn't shit. The trades, you got it on the head, man. Everything trickled down from there. So right now, okay, let's go present day. Last year, they traded everybody. It wasn't just one. They got rid of the whole starting five.
They tanked. Here's the thing. They were tanking last year. They were tanking. They were getting rid of some of the best players. They were trying to tank the shit. They lost a lot of games that they really didn't need to lose because they thought if they went on ahead with the tanking shit that they were going to get a top five pick. That shit didn't even work out for them. They got the seventh fucking pick. They didn't even get a top three or five. They dropped to number seven. So the tanking shit didn't even work for them.
Well, here's the thing. If this is about money, and see, I'm about the money. When it comes to it, the Bulls got bread. They got bread. They can go out here and start getting some of these big boys, these all-stars, perennial players, whatever the case may be. And they didn't even do that. They started signing people for like two-year deals, like some wash dudes. You would just talk about Hibbert. Hibbert is 7'4". He might be slow, but he's effective. And he's more effective than any center the Bulls have right now. And Paxton, I don't know if they're trying to look long-term, but, yo, I remember when the NBA draft used to be a big deal. The top five would be just – but now everybody want them. I don't even know who the top five was.
Nigga, I don't know who none of these kids is, man.
Exactly.
No. I do. Well, I can't say the top five, but I know a few three faces in the draft, though.
That was the thing. Okay.
Well, do you know who we got?
Exactly. Who, the Bulls?
Yeah. Who the fuck is Wendell?
I definitely don't know who y'all got.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, man. Like, the NBA draft, man, I can remember a time, man, where I was so excited about the NBA draft because, for one, well, and again, it goes back to, like, you know, the era in which we came up in where you saw guys develop. You saw guys in college, and they became stars in college. So you got a chance to see guys like Chris Webber come up. You got a chance to see guys like Shaquille O'Neal come up. You got a chance to see guys like Jamal Mashburn and Anthony Hardaway and, like, all of these guys.
Shaq.
Yeah, I said Shaq. You got a chance to see these guys develop, and you knew by the time they got to the league, like, yo, man, he's going to be a beast when he gets to the league, right? Now it's to a point where, like, so many of these guys, and it's not that I knock the kids because I don't. If you got a chance to get to the money, go get it. But it's to a point. Money. But if it's to a point now where the guys are like, yo, they one and done. Like, the only reason they even going to college now is because the NBA forces them to do so. Like, they got to play at least one season. So now you don't really get a chance to watch a guy develop into the player he should be by the time he gets to the NBA. So you got a lot of these dudes who come in. He's a top five, top 10 pick. And he might not develop into the player he's supposed to be until 5 years into his career because they're like developing this dude over that course of time, you know? And
here's the issue, though. I'm not talking about the rookies. The Bulls got money to spend. They got money to spend, and they go get somebody who should be cleaning toilets.
Here's the thing, though, Cliff. Okay? Here's the thing. If
I'm with the rookies.
Hold on. Here's the thing, though. When it comes to the Bulls having money, it makes no difference whether or not they have money or not if nobody wants to come to play for you. It makes no difference. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know why. Because they got Horford. They got that weak-ass coach.
Well, it's not just that, though. It's not just that. You think about, like, I think the Bulls, for as, like, you know, because the Bulls, as an organization, have been shooting themselves in the foot since Michael Jordan walked off the court for the last time for them. And the reason that I say that is because even going back into, like, Jerry Krause days, where Jerry Krause in the front office were trying to take credit for what happened on the court. So you even when Michael Jordan was walking the court for the Bulls, there was beef between the front office and the players. And so guys around the league, like, yo, man, if I got to deal with that shit, why do I want to go play for them when, like, the front office is always always meddling with what's going on with the core group? You know what I'm saying? So now I remember, like, there was a time when, like, remember when I want to say, like, Grant Hill and Tim Duncan, all those guys were, like, free agents and shit. The Bulls had money to spend back then too. Guess what? Everybody walked past the Bulls. Grant Hill went to Orlando. Tim Duncan said, fuck it, I'm going to go back to San Antonio. Tracy McGrady said, fuck it, I'm going to go to Orlando too. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had money then. It was like the attitude around the Bulls was like, yeah, they got money to spend, but I don't know if I want to deal with the people in the front office. And I think a lot of that over the course of the time, even like this is almost 20 years going now. But I think a lot of that has to stem from the way that the front office has operated and it's alienated a lot of players in the league to where they're like, you know, as much as Chicago is the third largest market in the NBA, I don't really want to fuck those dudes in the front office. And so a lot of guys don't, a lot of those dudes don't even bother to even consider Chicago. Think about when LeBron was a fucking free agent, when Dwayne Wade was a free agent. Like, they used Chicago to a certain degree. Like, okay, Chicago, like, everybody came to Chicago and heard they pitch, but they didn't even sign with Chicago. Think about Carmelo Anthony. Think about Carmelo Anthony. Hold on. Think about Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony had an opportunity to come to Chicago Bulls when they still had Derrick Rose. He came here. He came there. They still had Derrick Rose. They still had Joakim Noah. They still had a little window where they could have made some noise. And he opted to say, he said, fuck it, I'm going to stay in New York. Right? This is why I really didn't have a whole lot of sympathy for Carmelo Anthony when he was on some, you know, I got to get the fuck up out of here. Because he was like, yo, you had an opportunity to move and you didn't. So he came to Chicago. He said, fuck it. And he went back to New York. So I think the attitude around the front office with the Bulls has poisoned the attitude of players even wanting to come to play there. It's the third largest market in the league. But I think the attitude of the front office and how the front office has dealt with players has poisoned the idea of free agents wanting to come to Chicago.
I think it's something you're not talking about that is bigger than all that.
What's that?
Nobody wants to be in Mike's shadow. Listen, Mike O'Jordan, look, six rings. Look, Carmelo, Derrick Rose, LeBron, Kobe, all them niggas want his shit. And guess what's gonna happen?
They ain't getting Kobe it. At one point wanted to come to Chicago. He was trying to force a trade to Chicago.
That's another conversation.
I'm just saying. I don't even think it's that, man. I don't think it's they like at the end of the day, man, like If it's that, then Chicago ain't gonna never get nobody if they worried about I gotta come out of the shadow with Michael Jordan. Like, it's been 20 years since Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls. At a certain point, it's gotta be what the fuck is going on with that front office that is keeping guys from wanting to come to that team to play. Because Michael Jordan ain't walking through that door no more. Like, that's 20 years ago.
Right. That's 20 years ago. I don't need to bring this up, but it's bigger than the Bulls then, because every Chicago team has had a history of getting a chip and getting rid of everybody, except for the Cubs right now. Not because I'm a Cubs fan, but like, seriously, the
Bears, man, I'm enjoying listening to y'all Bulls fan whine right now. I ain't gonna even stop it. Go ahead.
I mean, this is not a Bulls thing. This is a Chicago thing, and I'm just going off of what your point is, man. Everybody in Chicago will look and be like, "Oh, I get a chip," but then they gonna get rid of me. But my whole thing right now is John Paxson. Okay, if John Paxson has, and I'm going to say he should have, the clout to go out here and get some ballers, he's just weak. He's weak. He's weak as hell. Okay, he got three rings. He got something to back up why he, you know, is telling players to come to the Bulls, all that other stuff. Melo, I ain't paying attention to that. I ain't paying attention to LeBron or Kobe, because they're not going to come here. They don't want to be behind Mike. They're going to have to go out here, get some new players who's never had anything. They want to get paid and build a team around them and start from anew. Paxson, he ain't got it. And they think he does. And when they hired Hoiber, Iowa, this dude is trash, man.
Hold on. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And the point that I'm making is, it's going to take a change in leadership in the front office, and it's going to take a change in leadership at the head coach position before you may see some movement where players want to come to Chicago. But right now, nobody wants to come to Chicago because of the way that they treated even some of their best players, most recently Jimmy Butler, by shipping his ass off when Jimmy Butler was the best thing going for them and they could have built around him.
Period.
Bottom line.
Period.
So,
but that's Paxson. This all leads back to Paxson, not Hoiberg. Paxson's the one saying this is what we should do.
Well, yeah, there's that too, but I'm saying there is no Hoiberg without Paxton. That's what I'm saying right now. Hoiberg is given, and this is something that I think Walt will agree with. Hoiberg has been given a leash a lot longer than Dwayne Casey may have been given.
We don't know that.
That's true.
We can't say that.
That's true.
We can't say that.
How come we can't?
We can't say that.
How come we can't?
He just got the job. He just got the job. I'm sorry.
Did he just get the job? Let's look
at that. No, Hoiberg been there for about 3 or 4 years now.
Hold on. We got Google at our fingertips, man. Hold on.
Let's check it out.
We got the Googles at our fingertips. Hold on.
All I'm saying is this, man. Paxton has been in the position for how long? Okay? How long? And don't let me...
Wait a minute. Hold on. How long has Jimmy Butler been in Minnesota?
Since last year.
Since last year. So I think Jimmy Butler played 2 seasons under Hoiberg. So it's probably been like almost it's got to be 3 to 4 seasons Hoiberg been with the Bulls. It might be 5, but I think he on his 4th.
I still say Hoiberg is as weak as Paxton. We need some killers back then, man. Hoiberg is about as soft as my son. He's 2. Come on.
Okay, it's been three seasons. He's been there 3 seasons.
It's been 3. He's been three seasons. Going on his 4th. Okay, so a lot of the problem with these front offices now is they're not basketball guys. They're numbers guys, and that's where the separation is coming into with the front offices and the players. Like you gotta have some type of balance, you know, with the numbers guys, and you gotta have some basketball guys in the front office too. Because if you got a bunch of guys that's just looking at analytics and this and that, and they don't know the game, then you're gonna have a bad team. That's just what it boils down to.
Let me ask you something. If you got the money, okay, and there's some players out there who got G, and they're in it for the money. They don't even care about getting a ring, but they some hoopers, all right? Go out there and recruit them. At least get to the playoffs. Sell some fucking tickets. I'm not saying get out here and put together the 98 Bulls. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with the Golden State Warriors or Miami. It's not happening. How about put together some thirsty snakes that can hoop? God, make it entertaining for me. That hat you got on your head, how about it make it worth your time? That $39.99 hat that you bought at Liz, make it worth that $39.99.
All right? What I'm saying to you, though, Cliff, bro, is that you can have all the motherfucking money in the world. It ain't going to make no difference if don't nobody want to come and take it. Like, you could say all day long. You could say all day long. Like, somebody going to take it. It ain't going to be the guys you want that's going to get you them wins. And that's the point. That's the point. There's plenty of guys like Jimmy. Like, think about this. Joe Johnson out here been robbing the league forever. You know what I'm saying? Been robbing the league forever.
Robin?
Yes.
Disagree.
Joe Johnson ain't been robbing the league. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. Joe Johnson definitely
Joe Johnson been robbing the league forever.
Hell yeah.
Right now, if Paxton told Joe Johnson to come for the Bulls,
they not going to do a motherfucking thing.
No. Answer my question. Joe Johnson comes to the Bulls, you ain't going to be happy.
I'm not going to have any feelings about it whatsoever because Joe Johnson ain't produced a motherfucking thing in the league since he been there. What teams has Joe Johnson led to anything, Cliff? What? Which teams has Joe Johnson led to anything?
Joe Johnson took Atlanta to the playoffs.
Was it just Joe Johnson, or was it? Or was Al Horford there along with him? When Al Horford there too? Where Al Horford at right now in Boston doing what?
If they needed no, what?
And they had old boy too. What's his name? Not Joe Johnson, but the other guy that was there too. I can't think his name now. Josh Smith.
Well,
Josh Smith. We all see where Josh Smith is at, right? Josh Smith came to the Pistons. What happened? He flamed out and he went somewhere else. Like, it's a whole lot of guys who have talent who would take the money, but just because they have talent and will take the money, it doesn't mean that your team gonna do shit with them on your squad. And that's the point that I'm making.
Listen, I agree. But what I'm saying is, I'd rather take them dudes that's taking the money than the dudes we got playing right now.
I guess.
I bet you would know who the starting five was. I bet you would know them.
Not really. Not really. Oh, I mean, I mean, think, I'm saying this as a fan. I want my squad to win. I don't want to just go grab some niggas just because they like, yo, he gonna take this money and maybe he'll put up 20, but we still end up with the same fucking result that we've been getting the last 5 years. I want to win, dude.
What you want to win? What you want to win?
The whole shit, or be in contention for it. Or be in contention for it.
No, no. Let's be realistic.
I am being realistic.
I got you.
I'm saying that going ahead and just going grabbing some niggas because you got money available don't mean that you're going to get anything tangible worth watching. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, the Bulls are not going to win a chip. Okay?
There's a whole lot of teams that may not win a chip, but I want to be able to watch the shit that I'm – I want to be able to watch the shit, Cliff.
And that's my
point. I want to be able to feel like we gonna be we got a shot at the shit. I don't want to sit up and be like, yo, hey, at least we got Josh Smith and he gonna score 20. Fuck out of here.
Feel like, if you want to feel like you got a shot at the chip, take that hat off your head, get some lighter fluid, and burn it.
It's not fuck out of here.
Come on, man. I can tell you right now, four teams that's gonna have a shot at the chip for at least the next 5 years, and the Bulls ain't even in the conversation.
That don't have to be for me to be a fan. The point, you get the fuck out of here. The point that I'm making to you is this: if I'm going to sit up and watch the games, you see, you keep talking about the money. You keep talking about well, they got all this money. You keep talking about they got all this money. Everybody in the fucking NBA know they got all this money. Everybody know that shit. So if everybody in the NBA know they got this money, why ain't anybody taking the shit? Why is nobody saying like, yo, I want to take this money that the Bulls got for me?
Bad back office.
So you making my motherfucking point for me, nigga?
I'm with you, but what I'm telling you is, if the back office had any backbone to them, yeah, wipe your head. Can't even hear what I'm saying. If the back office was pimping like they should, they can get anybody. They can get anybody. Detroit sucks ass, and they got Casey, and they gonna build off of that. I guarantee you.
They might.
Man, they start.
It's a whole lot of. You Man, think about
starting from somewhere.
Think about this. All right.
Your whole life.
We were sitting up here talking about how NBA. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. How a lot of these players have the power to move wherever the fuck it is they want to move, and we don't have no problems with the players going wherever it is they want to go. A lot of these players are going to places where they can either get paid or whether or not they can go get a chip. Right. Yeah. So. In that whole discussion, a lot of this is, well, okay, there's some mercenary ass dudes. You got a whole lot of secondary dudes who will go out there like they'll get some of these dudes aren't even worth max contracts, but they'll get max contracts. And the end result is your team treading water. Ain't nothing happening for your team. You got this guy who can you paying him all this money, but your team ain't doing a whole lot of nothing. And right now, if the Bulls can go out and spend a whole lot of money on some secondary dudes and tread water. Because truth be told, a lot of these top tier players are not looking at Chicago as a place to go.
I get that.
That's the whole point that I've been making the entire time. So
with that.
So my point is this, me being a fan of the Bulls, I can say my team is trash and I'm not really wanting to watch a trash ass team at this point. I can be realistic about the prospects of my squad. However, I'm not a fan of, hey, yo, we're going to spend all this money on some secondary ass niggas, but we're going to tread water and not do shit. That I am not a fan of. And that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, let's I'm going to branch off of you. I'm a fan. I don't want to tread water. Matter of fact, let me go back some more. We ain't even treading water. We drowning right now. Okay? The Bulls ain't treading water. They ain't even a 10th seed. We ain't even treading.
It's building seats.
But listen, I want to tread water. At least. You say you want to get a chip? The only way you're going to even try or initiate that process is to start treading water. And the way you're going to do that, it's to spend some bread. You ain't gonna do what you do or not. In order to get something different, you gotta make a change. And what they doing ain't working. Spend the money. That's all you can do.
Get rid of the front office is what you do.
Spend.
Get rid of it.
I said get rid of the front office.
Get rid of the front office is what you do.
Okay, and then and what's the first thing that that new GM gonna do? He gonna spend some bread.
He might. He hold on. He might spend some bread. He might spend some bread if he got it. The first thing he has to do is
the
first thing
get put together is they spend bread. Golden State.
Golden State didn't spend bread, dog. They developed their own players, dog.
They got KD, man.
They okay, they spent. Hold on. That's the only player. Drafted. Everybody else they drafted, dog. They built their own fucking squad. They built. You can call it luck all you want. How many times did you get lucky?
You want is the fact is they drafted.
Hold on. How many times do you get lucky like that? You get. Hold on. They got three. They got lucky three times. They got lucky three times. They got lucky on Steph Curry. They got lucky on Draymond Green. They got lucky on Klay Thompson before they got to Kevin Durant.
No, we'll talk about teams that built a championship squad off of spending money. Let's talk about them. That's what I want to talk about. No, Golden State is the exception. Most definitely. I'm with that. Let's talk about the teams that went out here, spent that money, and got what you talk about.
Miami.
The Bulls.
When did they do that?
Bulls, they went out there.
When did they do that?
Head. Huh?
When?
When did they do that?
The Bulls got Ron Harper, Dennis Rodman. They got four All-Stars along with Pip. Well, they put a team together by spending some bread.
That was 20 Miami. Years ago, Cliff. I'm talking about right now, dog. I think you about
Miami,
to tell me.
Miami. Miami. So why can't the Bulls do it?
Because Michael Jordan's not here to go tell them to do it.
No, they can't Miami. Do it. They can't do it because nobody Miami. Wants to come play for Chicago right now.
Okay, expand. That
your
means,
city ain't cracking.
And, you know, let me say this. I think we might be saying the same thing in a different manner. We got to get rid of John Paxson.
Okay? I agree with that.
Period.
I agree with that.
That's where everything starts. And I guarantee you, you put that right dude in that chair, people gonna be like, you know what? I'm gonna go play for the Bulls, and y'all gonna pay me too. I'm coming.
You gotta change the culture of that. You gotta change the culture of that front office, man.
And that's the first thing you gotta do.
That's the first thing you gotta do.
Tell Cliff in his feelings. Well, he's been going on about the Bulls for a minute now.
Listen, I'm a Bulls fan, and it just pisses me off when you see somebody who has so much potential. I agree with Span. Paxson did an awesome job putting that team together. Rose, Noah, all them, they was killing. And then you went from here to the dirt? Come on, man. That ain't the players.
We gonna change topics, man. We gonna talk about a whole other sport. Shit. We gonna talk some football, man. Your man Brett Favre is out here. He's advocating. Wow. He's advocating for the eradication of tackle football in youth sports and like in youth football, right? So I'm going to read a little bit from this article from USAtoday.com, man. It says, the fight to put an end to youth football needed a recognizable name behind it. One of the most popular and accomplished players in NFL history ought to do the trick. Brett Favre has put his name behind an Illinois bill that would ban tackle football for kids under the age of 12. I think it's going to take someone who has poured his blood, sweat, and tears into it, Brett Favre told the Daily Mail. Favre, who holds the NFL's Ironman record for 297 consecutive starts, certainly fits the bill. The Dave Duerson Act to Prevent CTE, named after the Bears safety who committed suicide in 2011 after battling the disease, passed through the Illinois House's Mental Health Committee earlier this year but failed to get to a House vote after it was pulled in late April. While getting the bill passed in Illinois would be a big step, Favre is hoping the legislature can make it to a national level. The state level is a start, but we have to adopt his plan and do it together, he said. Favre says he has a hard time watching kids play tackle football. The body, the brain, the skull is not developed in your teens and in single digits. I cringe. I see these little kids get tackled and the helmet is bigger than everything else on the kid combined. They look like they're going to break in half. It's a little ironic that Favre is throwing his support behind an act named after a Bears player in order to make the game safer. His career came to a sudden and devastating end during a game against Chicago in 2010 when he was sacked and his head bounced off the Metrodome turf. Favre estimates that he suffered thousands of concussions during his playing career, though he hasn't felt the full effects of CTE. The signs are starting to pop up. I was always great with names and faces, no matter how long it'd been since I saw somebody. But that's not so much the case anymore. And sometimes I'll be talking, and it's like I don't know. I'll know what I want to say is right there, but I just can't get it together in my head and make it come out of my mouth. Favre has dedicated a lot of his time and money in making football safer. In addition to backing the Illinois Bill, he served as an executive producer on a short documentary covering the effects of head injuries after having conversations with a company that makes shock pads placed under artificial fields to lessen the blow of hits similar to the one that ended Favre's career. So what do you guys are thinking about Brett Favre advocating for tackle being taken out of youth sports or youth football?
I'm gonna say this real quick, Walton. You can branch off. Football here in Chicago is not the same as it is in the South, or maybe even the West. I don't know. The
football is very much alive here.
Well, the repercussions of what's happening to these kids, you know, I don't know. I don't have that much information on it. I think it's more relevant college. Maybe some kids are getting concussions. He's going to have a hard time. And this is my opinion. I don't have nothing backing it. But I don't knock what he's doing. This movement as far as like safer sports, I don't know how you can be safe in football. Okay, it's a contact sport. It's going to be very difficult to say, okay, two-hand touch. Okay, hell, even when I was growing up, we didn't play two-hand touch. So I don't know how the hell they're going to do it with pads.
Flag football.
Yeah, but even flag, I don't know, man. I don't know. Here's what I'm thinking. How do you compare the intensity of the game with like a 9-year-old to the NFL? Okay.
All right.
I don't know. I just don't know. I didn't play football. I know a lot of people that did. People didn't really start getting hurt probably until the latter part of their high school years, college years. But I don't know if he's going to be successful, because honestly, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money behind the kids, behind those sports, behind the leagues nationwide. And to say, you know, no more tackling, good luck.
I think he's going to be successful.
Good luck. Okay.
I think he's going to be successful, but I think he's not going to live to see it. I think what he's trying to say and what he's trying to accomplish and what he's trying to do, he's not the only one doing so. It's at a young age, it's more about the game itself, the rules, the fundamentals, teaching the kids, you know, how to line up properly, how to get into a stance properly, or how to carry a football without fumbling it, or, you know, like different things like that. Little League Pop Warner football or whatever, the K-Pal football, whatever you play, that's basically what they're teaching you. And they're getting you ready for high school football, college football, and the pros. So what I think what might wind up happening is, you know, with all these parents these days that's complaining about it and trying to keep their kids, you got professional football players that don't want their kids playing football.
Right.
So with all these parents and people, you know, trying to keep the kids from playing football, I think what's going to wind up happening is it's going to become at the lower level when they're still young. It's going to be that. It's going to just be them teaching them the fundamentals of the game without the hitting. It's going to be more flag football type of things going on. And then they'll get to the hitting and stuff when they get in a higher level.
And I think that's what Brett Favre is advocating for.
I think that's what he's trying. I think that's what he's reaching for. Yeah. So I think that's, and I think he'll have some success with it. I just don't think it's going to be, because football is so big, I don't think it's going to be an immediate success. I think it's going to be something that happens down the line. It's going to be a slow transition.
Here's the thing. I think that it may happen a lot sooner than we think it will. You think about what's going on with a lot of the, you know, like the CTE sort of symptoms that, you know, former players are suffering from, where, you know, these guys are committing suicide. You know, sometimes, you know, there's stories of these guys being ultra violent outside of the game and affecting, you know, a lot of their home life and the people around them. I think with that, with the more knowledge that we get of what CTE is and how it's affecting the people who play this game, I think with the more knowledge we get of that, the more people are willing to not necessarily subject their kids to that level of contact. And so because people are learning more about what CTE is, I think more people will be willing to, like, you know, they'll try to protect their kids from that, right? It's like one of those things where, like, you know, we used to put lead in the paint, you know, and now we don't put lead in paint anymore because we found out that, like, you know, that shit was having a negative effect on our kids and whatever else. And, like, when you know better, you do better. And I think what we're finding out is, like, there are certain things that we, you know, that's coming as a it's like a cost of playing the game. We don't necessarily want to subject our kids to that, to a large degree. I think a lot of people are making that decision that they don't want to subject their kids to that level of contact, that level of or the possibility that their kids could be affected negatively going forward with their mental, with their mental health, right? And so I think with a name like Brett Favre, as big as a name as Brett Favre, being associated with trying to take tackling out of, you know, youth sports, or at least youth football, up to the age of 12, I think it may, I think we will see a lot more people put their names behind it. Because there's a lot of football players right now who are playing the game right now who will say, man, I don't know if I really want my kids playing this shit. Like, it's, that shit's happening right now. And, you know, with all of the rule changes that are going on, you think about, like, even with, like, kickoffs, man, like, they put the foot, they put the ball on, like, was that the 30 or the 35 yard line, man. There is no such thing as a goddamn kickoff return anymore. It's all touchbacks now. Like, the way that the game is being officiated, the way that the rules of the game are changing, they're trying to make the game safer. But for those of us who grew up with, like, motherfuckers, like, watching football and niggas going out there, like, yo, take my finger off, I'm gonna go right back in the game kind of shit. Like, with Ronnie Lott, you know, that's a famous story, but that's also crazy as shit that a motherfucker would be willing to sacrifice a digit to go play a goddamn game, you know what I'm saying? Like,
let me ask you something, Twan.
Yeah.
Let me ask you that. You said to not allow tackling to your 12.
That's what he was advocating for.
Right, right. So, here's my question. If you're 8, is it actually dangerous? I mean, you're like 40 pounds. Now, I'm not saying pound for pound, you know, it's not dangerous or whatever. But, you know, when I think about the game of football, how the hell is it not a dangerous sport? You know, all the padding, helmets, they can push the goddamn kickoff to the 40. Who knows, man? It is going to be dangerous during play. That's when the shit goes down. I mean, with kids, I don't know, man.
I think pushing it back, like, you know, for instance, just for the sake of this argument, you're talking about, you know, guys, you know, kids being 8 years old and playing in comparison to being 12 years old and playing. I think the logic behind it may be they're taking less time taking hits, right? So if you can cut 4 years off of an 8 year old taking hits that he doesn't necessarily have to take, and you push that back to maybe he's 12 or even maybe 14, where they start actually learning how to tackle and learning the proper technique and all these other things, where, like, you don't expose these kids to these level of injuries earlier than they have to be to play this game, right? Like, we all, I think everybody who allows their kid to play the sport of football understands that there's a risk involved in it when it comes to injury, when it comes to, like, catastrophic injuries, even, You know, like, that's why you pay the money for the coaching. That's why you pay the money for the equipment and everything else. Like, you understand that there's risk involved with this level of contact in this sport. But I think the point of taking it out of youth sports or youth football and only making it available to kids maybe 12, I would even say maybe 14 or over, when they're starting to play high school football. Well, that's when it really gets serious, man. When they're starting to, like, play high school football, when you start thinking about whether or not you can play on a college level and play on a serious, professional level or whatever else. Like, I think you just cutting down the time where a kid is exposing himself to a level of injury that he really doesn't have to have, just playing this game. And it's a dangerous game, and we've all grown up loving this sport, loving the violence of the sport. We were sold on the violence of the sport. Like, you go back and you look at, like, NFL films, and they talk about, like, you know, on the frozen tundra, the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears and yada yada yada. Like, you go back to all of that shit and you talk about how guys were getting murdered on the motherfucking field. You talk about, like, Deacon Jones and shit like that, and Ronnie Lott. You know, you talk about what's my man named Lawrence Taylor taking out Joe Theismann's legs and shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were brought up on that shit, but at the same time, like, man, that was fucked up.
Yeah, it was.
That was fucked
up. You don't realize it till you get older, though.
So
they weren't 10 years old.
Well, no, they weren't 10 years old, but the point that I'm making is, like, we were desensitized to the level of violence that the game was producing, and then you start seeing some of these guys after they leave the game, what their life is like. Like, Rodney Pete, former quarterback of the NFL, he used to play for the Detroit Lions. I think he played for Philly at a certain point. Like, Rodney Pete is dealing with a lot of the issues that he had when he used to play football now. Like, you never see Rodney Pete on television much anymore. You know what I'm saying? He used to be on the Best Damn Sports Show, period. Remember that shit back in the day? You never see Rodney Pete on TV anymore. It's because Rodney Pete is dealing with some of the effects of CTE.
Is that because when he was playing as a kid?
We don't know that, though.
I know. I'm asking.
It's a cumulative. Like, I think what's happening is there's a cumulative effect of not only the hits that these guys are suffering from when they were playing football as professionals, but it could be a cumulative effect. If you've been playing this sport for a long time, like, you got somebody like Brett Favre who's saying, I may have suffered thousands of concussions. It's not just because he was playing in the NFL. It could have been happening when he was in Southern Mississippi. Could have been happening when he was in high school. Could have been happening when he was playing Pop Warner. Like, I think what's going on is, like, they're trying to mitigate or at least cut down on the exposure you have to this level of contact. That's what I think they're ultimately trying to do. I mean, like, you can't.
That's the end goal.
If you're gonna play this game, I don't think you can play this game and not have the contact. But you can mitigate or limit the amount of contact that a player has if you limit that at a younger age. Where, okay, we're not gonna have you doing full contact at 8 years old. There's really no benefit to you having full contact at 8 years old. Like, for what?
I'm not a football player. But if I'm going to speak from a realist standpoint, just common sense, I'm not concerned if my son plays Pop Warner. I'm not. I'm going to get concerned when he goes to high school. Or let's just say, 12, 13? You know, when you got some kids, like when I was 12, 13, you know, I was like 4 feet, 70 pounds. You know, some of my friends was damn near 6 feet tall. You know, so if it's going to be understood to me that if this is the sport that I'm going to play, I'm taking the chance that long-term, not today, long-term, that I might end up like some of these dudes. And I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, I feel for these guys dealing with CTE because they've been playing football probably all their life. All right. And at the end of the day, they should have understood. No. I'm going to scratch that. CTE is new, fairly new. fairly new. Very.
It may not be new. You just may have a new understanding of what it is.
Right, right. But I'm just saying, from a common sense standpoint, if I'm 6 feet, 250, and I'm laying these slam jammers on everybody for 10 years, I'm going to feel that. And I'm sure in the locker room, you hear about stuff. I'm sorry. We all athletes. We hear about stuff. Oh, man, this happened to him. Man, you hear about him? That's how it goes down. Okay, so in football now, let's just be present. It's going to be understood. It's going to be understood that if my son plays football, that I'm going to know it's a really good chance that if I roll these dice, he could have those symptoms. Okay? Because nowadays, I think we spoke on this last time, it's more athletes, and they're more athletic today than ever. Any sport, period. So having to roll them dice, I don't care if they eliminate tackling before you're 12. I mean, I don't think that's going to make a difference. That's just me. Now, how they going to make the game safer? They're not. It's a contact sport.
The game is the game. That's how I look at it, too. The game is the game. Ain't no way to make it safer. Only way to make it safer is just not play the game.
Don't play. Don't. Man,
period.
Man, Walt, you a Cubs fan? You a Cubs fan?
In your wildest dreams.
Man, what's up, man? What's up?
Nothing. I'm just listening, y'all, man. Like I'm just listening. I think there's a point to be made.
I mean, I see both sides of the spectrum. I understand what they're trying to do, and I understand the end game, and I see nothing wrong with it. And they might be successful. I'm not saying that they won't be successful. But in my personal opinion, I do agree with Cliff. The game is the game. Because what's going to happen is if you soften up the game, it ain't going to be the game no more. That's just the way it is.
Well, here's
just
the
like
thing.
Now we crying about the NBA ain't the same as it was when we was younger and you know, back in the bad boy Pistons days and New York Knicks and the Bulls and all of them. Just like we complained about, that's how we gonna be complaining about football
well,
later.
I,
it ain't
hold
like
on,
it
hold
used
on.
To be.
I don't know. That's hold on. Some niggas just complain about the shit because it ain't what they grew up with. That's just what it is. Like niggas, like it ain't what I grew up with. Therefore, it ain't as good as what it was when I was growing up. But like when it comes to like the NFL, I don't know if like when a guy gets drafted to the NFL, I think the game is the game. I think with this is like, yo, we trying to mitigate the amount of content that these guys or these players get before they get to the NFL. Like you don't have to expose an 8-year-old to full fucking contact football.
Contact.
Like yeah. What's the point of that? Like, other than like some parent who has dreams of their son going to the NFL, who may or may not go, but some parent who thinks like my son gonna be the one, like maybe not, but to expose an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old or maybe even a 10-year-old to that level of contact, I think there is something to be said. Like, yo, man, it might not be the smartest thing in the world to expose your son to that level of contact at that age when their brains are still developing, their bodies are still developing, and everything else. Like, let them get to a point where they can understand. And I think 14 years old, when they're in high school, is a point in time where they can start understanding to a degree the level of contact that the sport requires and the risk associated with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could talk to an 8-year-old all day. They just want to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just want to play. No matter what, they just want to play. But I think there's something to be said about exposing them to this shit at a younger age where it really isn't necessary. So I know the homeboy Walt got to do his thing, man. He got to get up out of here. Go ahead and do your wing, man. Wait. Let me do it right. I ain't had my shit up all night. I ain't had the sound effects up all night, nigga wings. Oh, shit.
We've been going in, though.
We've been going in. We've been cussing each other out and everything.
We got Cliff and his feelings over there about the Bulls hating on the Pistons.
Oh shit! Ahead, where Walt. Is it? Where is? Hold on! Think? I got. Hold on! Wait.
We'll do it live. Okay. No. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
All right, go ahead, man.
Fuck it. it's so sad seeing what happened to Dwight Howard. Man, what a hard fall from grace. Oh my God, this man just got traded for Timofey Mozgov. Dwight Howard got traded for Timofey Mozgov. That's on his resume, fam. This is a dude who we thought was going to be damn near, we called him Superman. He was damn near the next Shaq to us. Big dude, dunk contest dude, jumping out the gym, big shoulders, bullying dude, went to the finals and all that. This man got traded for Timofey Mozgov. He is now in Brooklyn. It's so sad to see that. A lot of people say he brought it on himself. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But another one bites the dust. I put him up there I can't put him with the Greg Oden's and then with the injuries and all that. But, you know, I put him up there with some of the dudes like J.R. Smith, who everybody thought was going to be, you know, come out of high school, 18 years old. You know, I put him up there with them guys, man. Disappointed. Very disappointed.
That's it?
That's it, man.
All right, Cliff.
That was a good 2 minutes.
I'm saying. Go ahead, Cliff. What you winging it on tonight, man?
So, we got my hair cut. I got my hair cut on 45th and Cottage. Sox territory. Facts. All right? I don't care. So, I wear a Cubs hat every day. I don't care.
This nigga. Man.
Okay. Facts.
This
okay. Nigga. Walt, I'm so loyal. I don't care. I'm like, we lose, I feel like we won.
He act like they gonna beat his ass because he had a Cubs hat on. Like,
no, this is where that's going.
Okay.
So I'm in a chair, and next to where I get my hair cut is like a little stand. Got my phone, keys, hat. This dude was like, "Who Cubs hat is that? Who Cubs hat is that?" And you know, you don't want to move. You know, you're in a barber chair. You gotta move with the chair. And I'm like, yo, you know, it's my joint, you know, it was good. Oh man, fuck the Cubs. Woo woo woo. Span, you know how it is. And Walt, I'm sure you can relate in some degree. So I'm like, oh man, it's all good. He was like, nah, dog. You can't come right here with that. You can't come right here with that Cubs hat. And I was like, yes I will. Okay, first of all. No, man, this Sox territory. I said, look, man, ain't nobody on that shit. Okay? So
I don't have no problems because my city only got one baseball team. Well, one Chicago, basketball team Chicago and one football team.
Chicago is very split. But this dude got really touched because I had a Cubs hat. I'm like, yo, get my hair cut. I'm going to be wherever. And you could be wherever. But he was touched. And like my barber, shout out to Naeem, XFOI. He's like, yo, bro, you got to calm that in here. You got to calm that. But unbelievable. This dude was touched because I had a Cubs hat on the South Side. So, all my Sox fans, I'm sorry. No matter where
this nigga about to get jumped by some. He about to get jumped by some gangbangers over a hat.
Don't put that. Are you done? Don't put that shit on.
Are you done?
Go ahead, man. Go.
You went way over your 2 minutes, man. I wasn't gonna hit you, but you went way over the bucket 2 minutes. So, this is what I'm winging on tonight, man. Get your clock ready because I'm probably gonna go over the 2 minutes too. Your man, LeVar Ball, man. His son, LiAngelo Ball, didn't get drafted into the NBA. And his Junior Basketball Association is having a hard time getting players to even play in this motherfucking league. Is it about time we just, like, leave this nigga alone? Like, is it about time we stop giving this nigga the time of day? Is it about time we just like, yo, man, get the fuck up out of here, man. You ain't got nothing to say. You a sideshow and just leave this shit alone. Cause I'm low key tired of, like, every time I look up with some basketball shit, niggas talking about LeVar Ball. My boy Taurus, man, best friend, man. One of my tightest homies, like, yo, man, if my daddy would have talked to me like LeVar Ball talked about his kids, man, y'all wouldn't even be my friends right now. Like, I get that there's a segment of the, like, of brothers, man, that like love like black fatherhood and all that other shit. But yo, man, at a certain point, you just a motherfucking sideshow, bro. Ain't nobody come to see you, man. Ain't nobody come to see you, bro. Like, and if you was that great of a father, man, why your kid out in China stealing shit, man, with his brother in the NBA, fucking with Lamborghinis and shit? He could have just asked his brother, hey, man, loan me like $2,500 real quick so I can get these Gucci glasses, man. He ain't had to steal the shit. Come on, man.
You hate LeVar Ball.
Man, I don't hate LeVar Ball. I think that LeVar Ball is a goddamn clown, man. I hate that brothers like kind of promote this nigga, man. Like, he's the epitome of black fatherhood. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. He a fucking clown. And that's what I'm winging it on. It didn't even take me 2 minutes, goddammit. Fuck LeVar Ball, man. Get the fuck out of the way, man. Let your boy shine. Let your boy shine, man. Stop getting the fucking in front of your boy shine, man. Even if your boy don't get, like, the other kid may get drafted into the NBA. He might. But it ain't going to be because of LeVar Ball, man. It won't be because of him. Hey, he didn't probably fuck their whole ass career up, man. Lonzo, the best thing that ever happened to that family, nigga. Shit. And he seemed to be the one with the most sense, and he got the least amount of mouth.
And they gonna spend all his money trying to get.
And they gonna spend all his money. They gonna spend all the Lonzo money because he's like, hey, well, shit, you gotta put in on the family, boy. It's a family thing, like, nigga. When none of this shit be cracking if it wasn't for Lonzo Ball, man. Shit. So that's what I'm winging it on tonight, man. But we about to get up out of here. Gotta go. It's getting late. But before we do, we got, of course, remind you guys how to get in touch with us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Let your voices be heard here, y'all. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show. Respond right here on the show. You can leave us emails at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave those emails. We'll reply to those emails here live on the show. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Google Podcast, on Stitcher Radio, pretty much everywhere podcasts are available. Our shit up there. And you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, man. For all of y'all who do that, we'll read those reviews and we'll thank you right here live on the show, man. You can also go to the Spare Report Podcast Network store on TeePublic and get yourself some Beer and Chicken Podcast merch, man. Go ahead, get yourself a t-shirt or a coffee mug or a water bottle. Get something, man. We really appreciate that because we need some equipment, man. A homeboy Walt need a computer, you know what I'm saying? Hook us up. Help us help y'all with this good sports talk, this passionate sports talk. Help us help y'all get this shit, man. So, yeah, man, go to the Spare Report Podcast Network store on tpublic.com and get yourself some merch. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. And for all of your Beer and Chicken Podcast needs, go to beerandchickenpod.com. Go there, vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. You can, watch replays of the show there. All of that is available at beerandchickenpod.com. And, of course, I want to make this announcement now. You can catch clips of the show on YouTube. Because I'll be putting like clips of the show on YouTube now on the Spare Report Podcast Network channel. So go there, man. Subscribe on YouTube. Check out the clips. And, spread the word, man. Let everybody know what we're doing over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network. But Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Real talk. So we're about to get out of here. We'll talk to y'all soon. And until next time, fam. Peace.
Peace.